a little church history today from the first chapter of the book of Acts, the 26th verse. Then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. In Jesus' name, fellow students of the Word. The lots mentioned here, of course, were used to choose someone to fill the vacancy that was left when Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself. There were about 120 disciples in those days, about this number. And between Jesus' ascension and the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they chose from their number two men who had been with them ever since John the Baptist began heralding Jesus' coming. Those men were Joseph, called Barsabbas or Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed, asking the Lord to show them which of the two he had chosen, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Now that may seem a little odd to us, but it was a custom of long standing to choose by lot among the Jews. The promised land was divided among the 12 tribes of Israel by lot, for God had so commanded it. The choice of men for an invading force was made by lot in the days of the judges. The selection of the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement was done by lot. And the orders of priests and their daily duties were also assigned by lot. So Proverbs chapter 18 says, "Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart." We don't know exactly how they cast lots, not probably like our dice that we throw. Some suggest that pebbles with marks on them were thrown into the lap or a fold of the clothing and then shaken up so they were thoroughly mixed and then drawn out by someone. Today, when we call pastors or teachers to exercise the public ministry in our name, the voting members of our congregations do not cast lots. They use their God-given good judgment and vote to elect a candidate. At times, every once in a while, the suggestion comes up, maybe we should do it by lots instead, and it's usually in a humorous vein that that remark is made. In our country, in our culture, it seems to us that we would generally get a better decision if each one contributes his good judgment by means of voting. But is voting really any more reliable? If it is really true that you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, might we not do just as well sometimes by casting lots? Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." And that is really what makes the difference, isn't it? You see, I'm not suggesting that we should change our way of choosing pastors and teachers. Whether we cast lots or vote or have a committee vote or have a bishop appoint them or whatever method we may use, the most important part is the prayer for the Lord's blessing. It is His blessing that we need, no matter what method we may use. Do you believe that? Then think for a moment about boyfriends and girlfriends fiancés, husbands, and wives. In some societies, the parents arrange the wedding when the children are quite small. In other societies, the children are of marriageable age and the parents still arrange or match the bride and groom. Other places, it's just the father who makes the decision. When Abraham wanted a good wife for his son Isaac, he sent his servant to make the selection. But the servant prayed before he did so. My great-great-grandfather, seems a long time ago, but he asked the girl himself. They were married at the harbor in Bremen, and then they got on the boat. I don't know if she ever saw her parents again. But it was her decision. My great-grandfather proposed to someone named Emma Mum halfway across the country, and he used the United States mail service. He had to wait an agonizingly long time for the reply, but it was yes. I'm glad that in our society the selection of a lifelong mate is left to the two people involved, but does that really ensure any better choice than sending a servant or casting lots? Isn't it still the Lord who must bless if we will be blessed? And could He not guide and bless through any of the methods mentioned? So let us not think that it is our method, our way of doing things, our method of choosing that makes all the difference. Our human nature thinks that's the case, and so we promptly forget to pray for God's guidance. Or at least we don't pray as hard as we would if it were our parents or our profs making that decision. They might make a mistake. We might make a mistake. But the God whose guidance we seek, who knew how to save us from certain hellfire, and who was willing to do so at the cost of His own dear Son, He does not make mistakes. In His hands we are safe. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's a big amen. Hymn 532. Do we have an organist? Okay. 532, the first two stanzas.